Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Anita Ranyon. Anita is at the John T. Monfort Psychiatric Hospital, Prison Hospital. Tell us a little about yourself. Born in California.
Yes, sir. My dad was Air Force, and so I was born in California, and we traveled the country, and we're really blessed to get to do that. He settled in Lancaster, California, working for General Electric. I graduated from high school there and then came out to Lubbock Christian College back then, and earned my bachelor's degree in social work in 85.
What attracted you to social work to begin with, Anita?
At an early age, I loved listening to people. I loved listening to my parents talk to people from all over the country. In the Air Force, you cross paths with people who have been to Alaska, Hawaii, Europe. Just listening to them and the way they express themselves, I found myself a real student of conversation. That's what led me into social work. My mom actually helped me with that. My first semester, I had declared psychology as my major. But at the Christmas break, when I talked to my mom about the classes I would be taking and what I thought I was missing, she actually said, "Nina, I think you need to go into social work." Sure enough, as soon as I hit that first class with Dr. Beyer, I knew I had found the profession for me.
Knowing you and what you've done down through the years is really a calling. It's total dedication to the care, the total care, especially of those who suffer the most. You began with Children's Protective Services?
Yes, that was my first job out of college. I had done my field placement there, which back then was 400 hours. And so I did that here in Lubbock in the intake unit. Then I was fortunate to land a job right after graduation, and I worked in the rural areas. That's where I stayed the 7 years I was with CPS. I always tell people it's kind of like, I think, David Copperfield. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It's a challenging job, but I'm so glad I had that experience.
How beautifully put, the best of times and the worst of times. And of course, working in the rural areas with the resources so limited for children especially, it must have been a daunting challenge for you.
It truly was. But there are such great people and community in those rural areas. They were very graceful in accepting me. I was from an aeronautical background, and so I didn't understand agriculture and all that went with it. Simply going out to a house that was next to an elevator, which I thought was something you took to one floor to another. And so I learned a lot, the culture and the people, and I just have an immense respect for those people in the rural areas.
What is the beauty to small towns? I grew up in a small town in Ireland. So after that, you were drawn to Monfort. In that calling to the Monfort unit, you met Anne Howe.
Yes. How lucky am I to get to work with someone so gifted and so giving? Anne hired me. It was 2001. She was one of those people you just take to because she is so gracious in sharing her knowledge and wanting her staff to succeed and always having the best interests of the patients.
I'm absolutely delighted that you're in Anne's place as the Director of Social Work. As you look at your work as a social worker within the correctional system, within a hospital in a correctional system, how would you describe the large parameters of your work? What do you try to do for the patients, for the men who are with mental illness within the correctional system?
The first thing we do is we assess patients, see where they're at. Is their mental illness something that they have dealt with for years before coming to prison? Or is it something that this is their first episode? So as a social worker, that's what we are educated and trained and skilled to do, is to look at the entire person. And so what we try and do, in my opinion, the first thing is to instill hope that whatever their situation they're coming from, we can help them through it. For some, it's immense tragedies. Some people who come to the Monfort unit are facing long sentences. Some will never leave the prison system, and they know that. And the reality of that is daunting. Helping them find a purpose for their life behind bars, so to speak, can be a real challenge. We start where they are, and then we take them forward to give them that hope.
In terms of the age, there's a vast age range there.
There is. I've interviewed patients as young as 19, well into their 70s. So yes, we do cover that spectrum.
John T. Monfort began originally as a psychiatric hospital. Now you have a general hospital there as well, and a hospice, I understand.
Yes. Montford, the psychiatric prison, was the first part of the prison, and then they added what is now the Western Regional Medical Facility. It's everything from one-day surgery, assessments, they have a specialty clinic, all the way through to hospice.
I was remiss at the beginning, you are part of the Texas Tech family, too. You're part of the health sciences. You're part of the School of Medicine, so we are colleagues in this work that we do together. Just quite recently, there's a young man, he's a second-year medical student, who wants to work as a psychiatrist with patients within the correctional system. And he's been visiting with you and been so impressed, inspired, really, by what you're doing. As Dr. Ted Mitchell, the president of the health sciences, mentioned, he said, for those of you who do this work, it's not a job, it's a calling. Social work, to me, in a very special way, captures that whole expression of a calling.
Most definitely. We notice that when we hire people, they either love it, or it's simply not a good fit for them. And that's understandable because we do have a lot of parameters. We're working with two very large systems. You have TDCJ, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and then you have the health sciences. We each have our own policies, procedures, but then we have to marry those so that we complement each other. And I think through the years, we have done that very well.
I compliment Steve for what you do and bringing the two cultures together in the interest of the patients that you serve. Anita, this has been a fascinating introduction to your work, and we'll take a short break and then we'll be back to continue this wonderful conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon. We are delighted to have as our special guest, Anita Reina. Anita is with the John T. Monfort Unit. She is the Director of Social Work. To what would you attribute the longevity of those years? You've been there many, many years.
16, going on 17, yes. And we do. We have the highest longevity out of all of Health Sciences Center, which is, I think, a very interesting fact. I contribute it to the fact that we're always learning something new. There's always a challenge, whether it's something that's coming through medication-wise or maybe the prison system, it's time for them to make a push to release inmates. Okay. They call them inmates, we call them patients.
Yes.
And so we prepare our patients to get out to the communities, wherever they may be going. There's always something new for us to learn and to fine-tune our skills. And there's also, I think, a very distinct camaraderie between both security and psychiatric.
We were curious about, as women work in an all-male environment, with the patients being all males, how do you handle that?
We had a wonderful discussion one day with some of our newer staff. They happen to be females. Dr. Penland and I were sharing some of our experiences and how we've managed some of the not-so-pleasant behaviors of some of the patients. Dr. Penland noted that she'd seen a difference from the time when she began, which she would probably have been about, 20 years younger. The difference between the way the patients approached her then as compared to now. And I shared with them a story of a patient who I saw cellside. He was getting ready to leave prison. It was what I call a flyby. I went by his door and I told him, reminded him, as soon as you get out, make sure you go to parole. Then you go to MHMR so you can get your medications and get on their caseload. Don't forget to take your medications. And we went through kind of his relapse prevention plan. And then he looked at me and he just said, "Miss Raina, you sound just like my mother." And I said, "Yes, and I imagine she's a very wise and wonderful person."
Oh, wonderful.
So we can use that age to our benefit.
Before we came on air, we were talking about when people suffer from mental illness, the communication is a difficulty. You mentioned how you came upon the art as therapy in the cognitive aspect of your work.
Mm-hmm. I was working on what we call the neurocognitive track. Those are for patients who have either suffered a head injury or they have dementia, early onset Alzheimer's. The dialogue groups for them just are not effective. We looked back at what we had done in the past in our program, and at one time we had a full therapy program, which included art therapy, dug into our bag of tricks. The other thing those patients need are a sense of purpose. Many of them are there for life. And so they've been in prison for over 30 years, and they are not going to leave prison until the day they die. What we did was we combined two things. We made cards for a local nursing home. It would be Valentine's cards, Thanksgiving cards, Christmas cards, and the patients responded in such a positive way. They were so grateful to have a purpose. And they would ask questions about, you know, who are these cards going to and what type of experiences do these people have? The empathy that they had for people who were in a nursing home, yet they themselves are in prison for life.
There's a common shared humanity, compassion, empathy that binds us together as people, as a holy people, really, in the best sense of holy, God's people. And so from the cards at the various celebrations throughout the year to the nursing homes, that became then the art therapy.
Yes, we did different activities, and that did spread. Our administrator at the time, Rebecca Ramirez, who is gifted, talented, and extremely compassionate woman, she suggested to branch off of that. We obtained pumpkins. She wanted to have a pumpkin trail. Imagine upon the ears of TDCJ, that sounded rather interesting. But we obtained the pumpkins and we, what we call laid in, we scheduled patients to come down to the room where we had all the pumpkins. And one by one, they painted a pumpkin. And then we put them outside into an area where patients pass by to go to and from lunch or dinner or infirmary. And they were on display and we had a sign that said pumpkin trail. And this year will be our third year. The patients truly enjoyed that.
What a gift it is to the human spirit, especially when the human spirit feels oppressed by both being in prison and by mental illness.
So, I couldn't have said that better myself. So true.
Tell us about the origins then of the actual paintings, which the patients did give color and form to their illness.
One of the things we do in therapy is we will give them a manila folder to keep any papers that we hand out during the therapy sessions. Some of them would doodle on that. It was from that we saw some of the talent that these individuals have. We wanted a way to share that with other people. Again, for them to have a sense of purpose and pride. After the pumpkin trail, again, our administrator, Rebecca, suggested we should participate in the art trail. She visited with staff from StarCare. We did a joint exhibit on the art trail in 2016. We were in May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. Amidst the pieces of artwork, we also had facts about mental health. It was twofold. It was for the benefit of the patients to let them know that your work is noteworthy and we want to share that. Also to educate the community.
As you looked at the various illnesses represented, would depression be the primary one?
I would say major depression is the one that we see the most. With the depression, because so many inmates, whether they came in already with a pre-existing, you know, mental health illness, but you can see how the prison environment, you could easily develop depression. That, I would say, is probably the most common, along with adjustment disorder.
And bipolar, of course.
You know, yes.
Which we saw when I was looking at the art exhibits. So many of the great artists of music and the visual arts have suffered from the bipolar condition.
One of my favorite pieces was one, an individual patient came in for depression, and it was related to multiple deaths, losses. His piece was the one that said, "If I could turn back the hands of time," we were looking at those in therapy, looking at the losses and not being able to have closure.
Anita, this is fascinating. We'll take a short break and then we'll continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon. I'm delighted to have as our special guest Anita Rania from the John T. Monfort Psychiatric Hospital. Anita, with Chuck at the break, we were talking about the changes that happen in the inner being of the patients during their time that you facilitate through therapy. What do you see happening as people begin to encounter their grief, their loss, the more deeply felt human emotions that we all share?
One of the benefits of working at Monfort is you always are challenged with facing a different issue that the patients are dealing with. Recently, I ran a grief and loss group. It wasn't meant to be that, but because of the commonalities of the patients in the group, that's pretty much the direction it went. It was wonderful in that I think we met all of their therapeutic needs. Some of the individuals were suffering from the loss because of a death. Others, they were new into the prison system, and they were realizing what they had lost as far as freedom, family, status. Another young man had been at his unit. He and his cellmate had smoked K2. He fell asleep, and when he awoke, his cellmate was dead. He'd had a massive coronary. That's what he was dealing with. And then also, the results of smoking K2, he was now experiencing some psychosis, auditory hallucinations. So it was the grief of this, I've changed myself forever, and I don't know how I'm going to face this.
But you know, the challenges for the patients and for all of us is to try and give them something to hold on to one day at a time, part of your goal, a part of your purpose.
Yes. I have learned through many interviews and therapeutic sessions with patients. I tell them up front, there's no way I can imagine what your life is, of what you experience. One of the benefits of having a group is they help one another. Each of them have in some way experienced what the other has faced.
What you do to try and promote a sense of community, of shared suffering and shared purpose, shared living, shall we say, I love the pumpkin trail, that gives a special type of hope to the people you work with.
When you see the patients get into what we call the working stage, where they are actually helping one another, and you as a therapist kind of take a step back, because that's what we want. We're trying to instill in them the skills that they will need both in the prison setting and outside, and that you talk to other people, you share your thoughts and your feelings, and you validate each other, and you grieve with each other, and you support each other. I mean, there's at times where, as with my work with hospice, when I was working with patients who were in the process of transitioning from this life to the next, you're on hallowed ground.
I love that expression, hallowed ground. Not to over-romanticize it, but nonetheless, it's the sacredness of the suffering of people at their most vulnerable time.
Exactly. And that's difficult for them to be vulnerable. When you have the right mix of patients, I see it as their spirits unite. That's when you see it. It's one of those moments where you just have to step back and take a breath and know that God is working in whatever way He is. The presence is there.
And of course, in the art especially, how difficult it is for so many people in this setting particularly to express themselves verbally. But the ability to the art to give form to their deepest joys, hopes, or struggles, sorrow, call it what you will, that is so important.
It gives you a whole other facet of the person. We started collecting the art for this show in January. So we needed to have time so that we would have a good sampling of the talent that we have at Monfort. As they would bring them in, they'd say, oh, this is such and such patients. And some of them, I would look at it and think, no, it's not. I know that patient. Where did that come from? And I still, there's one specifically where the patient is rather stoic. He doesn't speak much at all to people or other patients. He titled it Reflections. and it shows mountains in the background and pine trees in front of a lake. He drew it. It was beautiful.
And he lived in that reality as he drew it. And
yes.
Of course, that's what you have to think. His soul is able to celebrate that expression of being and of earth and of freedom, shall we say.
It was such a significant thing for me because even though I've been there for 16 years and I always know there's something we're not seeing, there's something else to this person maybe we're not tapping into. When I saw that, it reminded me of the power of the different therapeutic activities that we offer.
And the resilience of the human spirit.
Amen.
You know, despite mistakes that people have made and they've compromised themselves with some terrible choices, nonetheless, they are God's children. I loved Dr. Ted Mitchell and Dr. Cindy Jumper when they introduced you and introduced the program of the art exhibit at the Health Sciences, how they lauded the work that you do and the dedication that you bring to God's children in the patients that you serve. And I want to say thank you on behalf of all of us for that. It's so special.
It's our pleasure and it's our honor.
You will continue this, won't you?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
I'm sure you enjoyed an equally warm reception when you were on the art trail.
We did. It was wonderful. And I have to say, and my coworkers can vouch for this several times over, I was so nervous about the art exhibit at Health Sciences Center in that I feel protective of some of our patients. Some of their work, they are not grand works, but as people would say, but Anita, it's theirs. And there is no right or wrong in art. I said, I know, but I don't want anyone to criticize what they've done or judge them. Everyone assured me ahead of time, that's not the way it's going to be. It was wonderful. The reception, I couldn't have imagined it being any better.
You know, I was thinking, Anita, that wonderful in Matthew's gospel, perhaps, is as long as you did it for these, the ones of my little ones, you did it for me, and the other one, when I was in prison, you visited me.
Exactly.
That resonates so much in who you are, what you do, and in that beautiful art exhibition that you have shared.
I'm so glad because that is the purpose that we have as staff, is to bring out the best in others. Those others are our patients who are not always seen by society as being worthwhile and meaningful, that they should even have a purpose. And probably that's where some of my anxiety with the art exhibit has come from, because some people, they have a very different view of
maybe
what inmates.
Maybe soften their hearts.
But Health Sciences was wonderful.
And so was the
wonderful
art trail. Well, listen, I know you're a faithful listener to this program.
I am. Faith Matters. I am.
And you're a faithful listener to the radio. We're delighted to have one of our own with us this Sunday afternoon talking to our listeners, who is our other extended family. So, Anita, on behalf of us, thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are and for that wonderful gift you bring in the work to God's special children.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.